Okay, folks. Welcome back. Ready to dive deep into something really interesting. We're tackling OT security today, and I'm really excited about this one.
Definitely interesting stuff and complex, but don't worry, we'll break it down for you.
Exactly. We've got a great guide for our deep dive today, a newsletter by Mats Carlson Landeré.
Yeah, this guy's a bit of a legend in the OT security world, especially in Sweden.
He really knows his stuff, and his newsletter, which you can find at, get ready for it, otsikkerhet.se.
Oh, try saying that five times fast.
I know, right? Otsikkerhet.se rolls right off the tongue.
It's in Swedish, but don't let that scare you off. Pop it into your browser and let the magic of automatic translation do its thing.
Works like a charm. So this is Matt's 68th newsletter. Can you believe that? He's been at this for a while.
68 newsletters. That's some serious dedication to spreading the word about OT security.
Yeah.
We did mention a few from the early days have gone missing.
Lost to the digital void. Yeah. But hey, most of them are still available on the site.
That's great news for anyone looking for a treasure trove of OT security knowledge.
So Mats, for those who don't know, is a consultant specializing in OT security and the NIS2 directive.
And his background is actually in the nuclear power industry. Talk about a high-stakes environment.
No kidding. I bet that experience really shaped his views on security.
Absolutely. That kind of background really makes you appreciate the importance of robust security practices.
So today, we're going to pull out the most interesting and insightful bits from Matt's latest newsletter, number 68, and see what we can learn.
We'll try to make it fun, too, of course. Because who says cybersecurity can't be entertaining?
Exactly. So, shall we jump right in?
Let's do it. Where do we start?
How about asset management? It might not sound super exciting, but it's kind of the bedrock of OT security.
Yeah, like you can't protect what you don't even know you have, right?
Exactly. And we see this all the time. Organizations rushing to implement fancy tools to keep track of their OT assets.
Which makes sense. On the surface, you've got to know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Your PLCs, sensors, control systems, all that stuff.
Right. But Mats throws a bit of a curveball here. He says, sure, knowing what you have is important, but he argues that truly understanding those assets is even more crucial, like knowing their purpose, their vulnerabilities.
He says, you cannot protect what you do not understand.
It's a great point. And he breaks it down into two key interpretations of understand. First, you need competence. You can't just throw IT people at OT problems and expect them to magically know how to secure an industrial control system.
Right. It's a whole different world. It's not just about patching servers and firewalls. It's about understanding the unique characteristics of these industrial environments.
And the second way to understand, according to Mats, is to grasp the actual production process where this equipment is used.
Ah, so it's not just about protecting the device itself, but understanding how it fits into the bigger picture.
Exactly. The goal is to make sure that entire process, whatever it is, manufacturing widgets, delivering power, whatever, doesn't get disrupted. It's about operational continuity.
It's a crucial point. In OT security, the stakes are often much higher than in traditional IT. We're talking about potential physical damage, safety hazards, even environmental impacts.
And Mats has this great line that really sums it up. IT is a support to the business, but OT is the business.
Love that. It really drives home the point that OT security is inextricably linked to the core operations of an organization.
And this perspective is even more relevant in the context of the NIS2 directive, because the whole focus of NIS2 is on managing risks to both the organization and to society if essential services get disrupted.
So it's not just about checking boxes and ticking off a list of security controls. It's about understanding what a failure would really mean and tailoring your security efforts accordingly.
Precisely. Okay, let's shift gears a bit and talk about something that really got Mats fired up. Sweden's brand new cybersecurity strategy.
Yeah, he was pretty excited about this, even though it didn't seem to make a huge splash in the mainstream media.
I think he mentioned watching the live stream presentation with a bag of chips.
A true fan. But you know what's really interesting? OT security is actually explicitly addressed in this strategy. And they've set some pretty concrete goals to achieve by 2030.
Which is great to see. And it seems like they've really thought about how to make this strategy accessible. They've released two versions, one super formal government document and a more digestible version for the general public.
So everyone can understand what's going on. Love that. Mm-hmm. And they've also made a deliberate shift from using the term information security to cybersecurity.
Yeah, there's been a lot of back and forth about that. Traditionally, everything fell under the umbrella of information security, IT security, OT security, cybersecurity.
But Mats is actually on board with the switch to cybersecurity as the overarching term. especially in the context of OT security.
Makes sense. And OT, we're not just dealing with information, we're dealing with physical systems, machines, infrastructure.
And he also points out that aligning with the EU's terminology, especially with NIS2 coming into play, is a good thing for consistency.
Absolutely. So let's get into the nitty-gritty. What are some of the key areas this strategy focuses on, specifically related to OT security?
Well, right off the bat, they acknowledge the huge gap in competence and knowledge when it comes to OT security.
Yeah, that's something we hear about all the time, right? Finding people who truly understand the nuances of securing operational technology is a major challenge.
It's a specialized skill set.
Yeah.
You can't just expect someone with a strong IT background to jump into OT and hit the ground running.
Exactly. The strategy also highlights the growing digitalization of critical infrastructure, and they specifically call out the unique demands of OT security in that context.
Which is crucial. As more and more critical infrastructure becomes interconnected and reliant on digital technologies, the potential consequences of a cyber attack become even more severe.
And they're putting a big emphasis on security monitoring tailored for OT systems, especially in critical sectors.
That's a big one. Being able to detect and respond to threats early on is absolutely crucial in these environments.
They're also stressing the need for proportionality. You know, not every OT system needs Fort Knox level security.
Right. It's about balancing the risk with the resources you have available, and making smart decisions about where to focus your efforts.
Makes total sense. They also mention the Swedish Civil Contingencies Agency, or MSB for short, and their role in developing what they call Cybersäkerhetsskolan, which translates to cybersecurity check.
It sounds like a valuable resource, providing support and guidance specifically for OT security within essential services.
Definitely. And they touch on the upcoming NIS2 legislation, making it clear that they expect it to align with this new national cybersecurity strategy.
Which is a good sign. It shows a commitment to a coordinated approach to cybersecurity across the board.
Okay, so we've got the strategy, which paints a pretty positive picture. But Mats also brings up a report from MSB that takes a bit of a deeper dive into the challenges organizations are actually facing in implementing OT security.
And sometimes just having those challenges officially acknowledged can be a big step towards finding solutions, right?
Absolutely. Now let's hop over to the EU for a bit. Mats highlights an article by Sarah Flix that digs into the connection between a harmonized EU standard called EN18031 and the Expanded Radio Equipment Directive, or RED.
Yes, the RND. It's been around for a while, but it used to focus mostly on things like radio interference. But now
it includes cybersecurity requirements for any product that uses radio transmission.
Which is a huge deal. We're talking about everything from simple sensors to complex control systems. If it transmits wirelessly, it falls under this directive.
And Matt sees this as a potential preview of what's to come with the Cyber Resilience Act, the CRA, and the cybersecurity aspects of the upcoming machinery regulation.
The CRA, as you might know, is a big piece of EU legislation that's all about ensuring the security of digital products.
So manufacturers of industrial equipment that uses any kind of wireless communication definitely need to be paying attention.
Absolutely. Mats also points out a rather crucial point of ambiguity within the CRA, the definition of product.
Ah, yes, that pesky little detail. Does product refer to a specific type of product or every individual unit that gets produced?
It might sound like a minor thing, but it has massive implications for when and how the CRA's cybersecurity requirements would apply to existing products that are already out there in the world.
It could mean the difference between a manageable transition and a complete logistical nightmare.
Definitely something to watch closely as the CRA gets finalized.
Okay, now for something a little more lighthearted. Mats gives us a peek behind the curtain of his home OT lab.
Oh, I love this part. Every OT security enthusiast dreams of having their own lab to tinker with.
He mentions that he started out with a lot of focus on the IT infrastructure side of things, but now he's shifting gears towards more traditional process equipment. You know, the kind of stuff you'd actually find in an industrial setting.
Which is a really smart move. Because in the real world, you often have to deal with older legacy equipment that's been in use for decades.
Exactly. And he's got quite the collection going. A used Mitsubishi Melsec PLC remote I.O. from Wago, a frequency converter from Allen Bradley, a safety relay from Pills, Profibus components, a flow and pressure meter from ABB. The list goes on.
It's like a museum of industrial technology.
I know, right? And the crown jewel, a used Fisher Technic mini factory.
No way. Those things are awesome, but they can be super expensive.
I know. He got lucky finding a used one. He's planning to use it to simulate different manufacturing scenarios, which is brilliant for testing out security measures and understanding how cyber attacks can impact physical processes.
I love that he's taking this hands-on approach. It just shows how passionate he is about OT security.
And he even gets donations from readers of his newsletter. A few good souls provided him with some equipment anonymously.
That's amazing. The OT security community is really something special.
He's still looking for software and licenses, though, even old versions. So if anyone out there has some vintage OT software gathering dust.
Yeah, give Matt a shout. He'll put it to good use, I'm sure.
He's also been known to get some newer equipment on loan or as gifts from vendors, but he's very clear about his principles. He only writes about products he genuinely likes and finds interesting, and he never accepts payment for coverage.
Which really adds to his credibility. You know you're getting an unbiased opinion from him.
Absolutely. Speaking of industry events, Mats wasn't able to attend the S4 conference this year, but he did watch Dale Peterson's keynote address online.
Oh, Dale Peterson. His presentations are always thought-provoking.
I know. And Mats really resonated with Dale's message about the importance of prioritizing security efforts. We can't do everything, right? So we have to choose our battles wisely.
Especially when resources are limited.
Exactly. And Dale, which Max agrees with, says that the real art is figuring out which security measures are actually the most effective. It's not just about ticking boxes on a checklist.
It's about understanding the unique risks and vulnerabilities of your environment and choosing the actions that will have the biggest impact.
Mats also mentions that he sees a big part of his role as a consultant as helping organizations identify those strongest cards to play from their security toolbox.
Which is a great way to put it. It's about strategic decision making.
And on a slightly more futuristic note, he brings up NVIDIA's security initiatives with Bluefield and Morpheus. He sees this as a potential game changer for security solutions, particularly in OT.
Interesting. I haven't dug into those too much yet.
It's all about separating security functions from the core production systems, which is a really intriguing concept.
Definitely something to keep an eye on.
Oh, and for anyone interested in getting into OT security, Mats mentions that his team at Sectra is hiring. They're looking for OT security consultants in Sweden to help expand their OT Security Operations Center, or OTSOC.
Nice. If you're in Sweden and this deep dive has piqued your interest, you might want to check that out.
Okay, let's talk about something that's really top of mind these days. Supply chain security. Mats highlights a recent example where Clavister, a cybersecurity company, made a very public, no backdoors declaration in their product manuals.
That's a bold move, especially in this current climate where supply chain attacks are becoming increasingly common.
Right. And with the NIS2 directive placing a lot of emphasis on supply chain security, it's a pretty strong statement.
And it's not just Clavister. Mats mentions that Zertified has also endorsed this principle, and he's encouraging other vendors to do the same.
It's about building trust and transparency within the industry.
Absolutely. And Mats also brings up a broader trend he's observing. Organizations reevaluating their dependence on foreign vendors, particularly for critical technology.
Which is understandable, given the geopolitical landscape. He's even been thinking about a Made in Sweden initiative for OT-related products, encouraging Swedish producers to reach out to him to explore collaborations.
That's a fascinating idea.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how that develops.
Okay, back to the newsletter feedback. Mats mentioned that a lot of the comments he received were about his remarks on fines related to the current NIS directive.
Ah, yes, that whole issue of transparency.
Right. He's still a bit puzzled by the lack of detail and public information about these fines from the supervisory authorities.
He thinks more transparency could be a good thing for the industry as a whole. It would help organizations understand what not to do and how to avoid similar penalties.
Absolutely. And on a lighter note, it seems like Matt's two songs, NIS2 and OTSecurehet.say, have actually made it onto Spotify.
No way. I've got to hear these.
He even admits to having a favorite, the harder one, OTSecurehet.say. I wonder what genre they are.
Cybersecurity rock. Industrial techno. Who knows?
Maybe we can convince him to perform them live at the next OT security conference.
Now that would be a sight to see.
Speaking of engaging with the community, Mats and Johan Guste were recently guests on the Cyber Chats and Chill podcast.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that one. They do a great job of making cybersecurity accessible to a wider audience.
Apparently they had a really fun conversation covering everything from Stuxnet to, wait for it, relationship advice.
Yeah, that's a crossover episode I'd listen to.
I know, right? We'll definitely have to check it out.
Definitely. And speaking of valuable resources, Anissa, the European Union Agency for Cybersecurity, just released its first NIS 360 report.
NIS 360. Tell me more.
It's their attempt to assess the maturity and criticality of different sectors when it comes to cybersecurity, specifically from the NIS 2 perspective.
Makes sense. And what are they finding?
Well, in their first report, they focused on organizations classified as essential under NIS 2, which are basically the higher risk entities. They haven't included important entities yet, but they might do that in future reports.
And which sectors are looking the most, shall we say, mature in their cybersecurity practices?
According to the report, it's electricity, telecom, and banking.
Not really surprising, though. Mats did mention that within the electricity sector, there's actually a pretty wide range of maturity levels.
So the averages can be deceiving.
Exactly. But what about the sectors that are heavily reliant on operational technology? How are they doing?
Well, that's where things get a bit more concerning. It seems like most OT-dominated sectors are in the lower half of the maturity scale.
Yikes. That's not great news.
No, it's not. And one sector that Matt specifically points out is ICT service management, your MSPs and MSSPs.
The companies that provide IT and OT services to other organizations.
Exactly. They're classified as high criticality because of their wide reach, but their maturity level is only so-so.
So a security incident at an MSP or MSSP could have a ripple effect across multiple organizations.
Exactly. And the report specifically highlights several sectors where OT security is absolutely crucial. Maritime, drinking water, district heating, electricity, and railway.
The essential services that keep society functioning.
Precisely. Mats agrees with the report's findings, but he does point out a few things that might be different from a purely Swedish perspective.
For example?
Well, district heating is obviously much more important in Sweden, given the climate. And he also thinks the criticality of drinking water should be even higher in a Swedish context.
Makes sense. Local context always matters.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about something that's not always fun to think about, but is incredibly important. Incident response.
Ah, yes. The reality that no matter how good our security is, things will inevitably go wrong.
Skit happens, as someone wisely put it.
Exactly. Mats highlights a LinkedIn post by Sinclair Colomay, who makes the very valid point that we can't focus all our resources on prevention.
We need to be prepared to detect, respond, and recover from incidents as well.
It's about having a holistic security strategy that covers all the bases.
Right. And Sinclair followed up with a really interesting article about the limitations of secure by design.
Oh, yeah, that was a great read.
Yeah.
He argues that in the OT world, where safety is paramount, secure by design can sometimes create unforeseen safety risks.
It's something that people coming from a purely IT background might not always consider.
Definitely a crucial point to keep in mind.
In a slightly surprising twist, Mats mentions that cybersecurity actually dropped out of the top 10 business risks in the mining industry, according to a recent EY report.
Interesting. So it's not always the top priority for every sector?
It's a reminder that risk perception can vary significantly depending on the industry and the specific challenges they face.
For sure. And sometimes cybersecurity risks might be bundled into broader categories.
Good point. Now, this one's a bit of a tangent, but I found it fascinating. Mats read an article by Alan Kelly about how Madrid managed to expand its subway system really efficiently by basically integrating the work into the regular operations of the transit authority.
Interesting approach. So no massive standalone project with a huge budget and a separate team.
Exactly. And it made Mats think about how a similar approach could be beneficial for OT security implementations.
Ah, so instead of treating security as a separate project, you integrate it into the day-to-day operations.
Precisely. It could be a way to avoid those big, bloated security projects that often end up failing to deliver.
Definitely worth exploring.
Now, for a little blast from the past, remember Y2K.
How could I forget? The whole world was convinced computers were going to melt down at midnight on January 4th, 2000.
And then not much happened.
Well, a lot happened behind the scenes to prevent anything major from happening.
Exactly. Which is why Mats brings it up. Because guess what? We've got another date-related issue looming on the horizon.
Oh, no, not another one. What is it this time?
January 19th, 2038. The dreaded Y2038 problem.
Y2038 sounds ominous. What's that all about?
It has to do with systems that use 32-bit Unix time. Basically, they could run into issues when the clock rolls over to that date. It's a bit technical, but trust me, it could be a big deal for OT systems, especially those with long life cycles. He even provides a link to the Wikipedia page for those who want to delve into the nitty-gritty.
Systems installed today could still be running in 2038.
Exactly. So it's something we need to be thinking about now.
Definitely food for thought.
Okay, back to battery security, something we talked about in a previous episode. Mats highlights an interesting paper on modeling and simulating cyber attacks against battery systems.
Which is incredibly timely, given the rapid growth of battery storage in everything from electric vehicles to power grids.
Right. And the authors of this paper are actually Matt's colleagues at Sectra.
Small world. And what did they find?
Well, they explore how manipulating these systems through cyber attacks could potentially disrupt the power grid.
Scary stuff. It really highlights the importance of security research in these emerging technology areas.
Absolutely. Okay, let's get into a bit of a more philosophical discussion about security. Matt's brings up consequence-driven, cyber-informed engineering, or CCE for short.
CCE, that sounds familiar. It's about designing systems to be inherently safe and resilient, right?
Exactly. But Matt's cautions against simply viewing CCE as a direct path to NIS2 compliance.
Ah, so it's not a one-to-one mapping.
Right. NIS2 has its own specific requirements and a particular focus on risk assessments that consider not only the impact on the organization itself, but also the potential consequences for society as a whole.
So it's about taking a much broader view of risk.
Exactly. And Matz points out that traditional risk analyses often focus on disruptions that can be resolved after an incident. But what about those truly catastrophic consequences that can't be undone?
Like the physical destruction of equipment, or even worse, loss of life.
Exactly. Things you can't simply recover from with a backup. And that's where CCE comes in.
Because it's about designing systems to withstand those worst case scenarios, even if cyber controls are compromised.
Exactly. He sees this as essential for true societal resilience, which is really what NIS2 is all about.
It'll be really interesting to see how regulatory authorities interpret this when they develop sector-specific guidelines and conduct audits for NIS2 compliance.
For sure. Okay, one last update before we wrap up. Remember how Sweden missed the October deadline for implementing NIS2?
Yeah, it was a bit of a disappointment.
Well, Sweden has officially responded to the EU explaining the situation.
And what did they say?
Basically that they're making progress, but they're running a bit behind schedule. The National Cybersecurity Strategy is out, and the legislation is expected to be finalized in the spring. They're aiming for full implementation around the new year of 2025-2026.
So a bit of a delay, but it sounds like they're on track.
Exactly. And on the European front, ENISA is celebrating its 20th anniversary.
Happy birthday, ENISA.
And to mark the occasion, they released their new strategy and work plan for 2025-2027.
I'm always interested to see what ENISA is up to.
Metz thinks it's worth a read, but for those of us who might not have time to pore over the whole document, he enlisted the help of Google's AI to generate a summary.
AI-powered summaries. Now that's efficient.
I know, right? And according to the AI, ENISA's main focus will be on supporting the implementation of all the new EU cybersecurity directives. NIS2, CRA, CSA. They're also really pushing to boost cybersecurity skills through things like the Cybersecurity Skills Academy. And they're emphasizing collaboration and shared situational awareness to respond to cyber crises more effectively.
Sounds like a solid plan.
And they're even working on developing an EU-wide cybersecurity reserve.
A cyber SWAT team. I like it.
They're also developing practical tools like a CRA reporting platform and an EU vulnerability database.
All very useful stuff.
And internally, ENISA is focusing on becoming a more sustainable and service-oriented organization.
So they're practicing what they preach. Good for them.
So after all that, who is Mats Carlson Landre? Well, professionally, he's an OT consultant and security advisor at Sectra. But this newsletter is clearly a labor of love for him. He's passionate about OT security and sees a real need for more information on this topic, especially in Swedish.
And his background in the nuclear power industry has given him a unique perspective on security.
He's fascinated by all aspects of security, but he's particularly focused on OT security and security protection right now.
Which makes sense, given his experience and expertise.
And he loves hearing from readers. He encourages people to reach out to him at mats@otsäkerhet.se with questions, feedback, or suggestions.
It's great that he's so open and accessible to the community.
So if you're interested in OT security, I highly recommend checking out his newsletter. It's free, it's informative, and it's got that unique Mats Carlson Landre perspective.
Can't beat that.
And with that, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive.
Wow, that was a lot of information.
I know, right? But hopefully it was digestible and insightful. We covered a lot of ground today. The importance of understanding your OT assets, Sweden's new cybersecurity strategy, upcoming EU regulations like CRA and NIS2, and of course the always entertaining musings of Mats Carlson Landre.
It's amazing how much he manages to pack into each newsletter.
I know. So here's a final thought to leave you with. As IT and OT systems continue to converge, and as we grapple with the long life cycles of industrial equipment, what seemingly small decisions are we making today that could have huge security implications decades down the line? Something to really ponder.
That's a great question. It really highlights the long-term responsibility we have in this field.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Until next time.
Be sure to check out Matt's newsletter at ot-sagerhead.se for more insights. And keep learning, keep exploring, and keep those OT systems secure.